Today on The Grave Talks, Healing and Understanding, a conversation with Adrian Hart. Adrian Hart has always been an empath, although she didn't know it. Because everyone feels the same things, right? As she grew older, she understood that being an empath was a special ability. Then she would learn that she possessed even stronger abilities after an experience with a friend who helped a spirit cross over. Adrian is still learning how to handle these feelings and emotions beyond just herself. We hear her story today on The Grave Talks.
I think it started when my mom passed away at 8 years old. I kept thinking, well, other people see things. Why don't I? Why doesn't she come see me? Why can't I see her? Mm-hmm. And I kind of forgot it over the years. And then I met somebody who was an investigator and I jumped on it.
That's interesting. So you had this experience or this feeling or this question of, you know, what goes on, what happens? Did you have any experiences that kind of led you to start wondering more about this?
No, up until I became an investigator, I really didn't. I thought that was reserved for people who were born with a gift. Mm-hmm.
So you...
But in recent...
Go ahead.
In recent times, I have figured out that everybody has the gift. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of learning to use it.
Tell me more about that. Tell me more about your, you know, as you started to investigate, what led you all the way to investigating? And at what age did you start doing that? How far back was it?
3 years ago.
Wow.
I was cleaning for Oilfield Man Camp. Mm-hmm. And I ran into a man that I cleaned for a year and didn't know. And he told me, he says, you know, I'm a paranormal investigator. I said, no, I didn't. I said, I belong to a team, but, you know, they're highly unprofessional. So I backed out of that. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, why don't you come with me? I'm like, okay. And his first quest with me was Ballinger, Texas, Old Park Hotel. He says, I've been there many times. I know there's activity. Let's go. I'm like, yes, okay, let's go. Of course, I'm skeptic, thinking everybody will see things except for me. And I did not see things, but I did my research on Killen Jim Miller. They called him the Deacon. Mm-hmm. And I did it for months. I knew his wife's name, his horse's name, his kids' names, how he died, the last words he said when he was hung. And when I went there, I called him out on all of it and was just trying to connect with him. And I heard a whistle, like a cowboy calling his horse. I said, Stephen, did you hear that? And he says, no, I didn't hear nothing. Okay. Well, it happened three more times. I said, you had to have heard that. It was loud. He said, no, I didn't. Well, when we played the audio back, we heard it seven times. So I was like, yes, I'm not crazy. And came home, reviewing footage. I left it alone. I thought, well, you know, we can't really do anything about this. Mm-hmm. So I heard a man calling his horse at home. I'm like, I live in the country. There's nobody here.
Yeah. How?
Well, that night, something that had been on my bed for 5 years fell off, hit my husband in the head, pierced his ear clear through his head.
Oh, my God.
So that was the first getting rid of something.
Yeah. I mean, so what's going through your head when you're back home and suddenly there's this thing that's happening after going on an investigation?
I thought there has to be an explanation for this. It's got to be. Until that happened that night. And I had to, you know, very firmly tell him he's not going to do this. Mm-hmm. But that's when I realized you can have a connection and not know that you do.
Yeah. I mean, when this happened, what was your husband's reaction to everything?
My husband is a skeptic, complete skeptic. He doesn't call me crazy in so many words. He's just like, do your thing. And he said, I know you did that. I was asleep. He says, no, you did that. So he's still pawning it off on I did that.
Do you think he truly thinks you did that? Or is it just kind of one of those things where it's a bridge too far to admit that you didn't do it and something else did, but there was no one else in the room?
Yeah, I think he knows that I did not do it, but he's not going to admit anything else.
Sure. Now, I get that. There's that mindset out there. My father is the same way, where it's like, I mean, this is what I do for a living, is talk about ghosts. And he doesn't believe in ghosts, so to speak. Even though he's had a couple experiences of his own, it's still like, well, maybe it was something else. But what? No, he never has an explanation for it. But it's just, it's too much. It's like, it's too much to take on to kind of have that sort of contemplation. So you had this experience. You heard that voice at your house. The thing fell onto your husband and pierced his ear. What was it, as simple as saying just go away to whatever it was that was at your house?
It was. I did the sage. I did the whole, you know, take your own house back, go away. And it never came back. So I'm assuming it was just, he was visiting. He took a liking to me because I did all the research on him. I'm not sure, but we're not going to do that again.
Yeah. It's interesting because that's one of those things where, quite honestly, when I first started doing podcasts about the paranormal, my first show, Real Ghost Stories Online, which is one where it's not interview based, it's listeners that just call in, share their stories, and we read stories. One of the things that shocked me the most, and this was almost 9 years ago now, when we started getting calls in, so several thousand stories back, was the simplicity that is involved, it's in some cases, of eradicating something out of someone's home. Because if you don't know much about it, all you have is basically movies and television, and you're thinking, oh, it requires all these people, or it requires this ritual or that. Sometimes it really can be just as simple as almost bargaining with it, going, look, you know, you can be here, but don't let me know you're here, or please leave. And this is my place now. You're really kind of bugging me. And more times than not, that's been the most successful thing I've ever heard done to get rid of something in someone's house that they don't want there.
Yes. Yes.
It's just very surprising, but it's not always the case. There's many times where it goes far beyond that, and it does require a little more than just some of that that reasoning. So you have this experience. You had this. It's happened at home. Did it make you pause? Did it make you want to continue getting into this deeper? What was your mindset there?
I definitely wanted to get into it deeper. I thought, if this can happen, what else can happen? Can I see? Can I feel? What else do I have?
So what were the next steps on that journey?
It turned out I did.
Yeah. What were the next steps on that journey then?
I got with a lady who, they call her energy worker. She works almost like a witch, except on the good side of energy work. And we went together along with our team, and we were in Salina, Kansas at Masonic Temple. And I had experiences there. There's a soldier there who whistles at you, which seems to be how I hear spirits, is whistling.
Really?
And each one is a different whistle. And I have no explanation for that. But she says, this person needs crossed over. And I said, okay. And where do I fit into this? Because no. She said, you ready? And she grabs my hand. I'm like, Okay, let's do it. And she pretty soon says, okay, she's gone. She went. I said, oh, okay. I didn't do anything. And since then, my abilities have increased, and it keeps adding to them. I have premonitions. I can, I've worked with a medium. I can read pictures. I can't go into a place and just start speaking to spirits, but in the last week or so, they have started coming to me and wanting help. I don't know what they want. I'm not there yet, but it's opened up a whole new world.
How do you think that that was opened for you? I mean, do you think this is an ability that you've always had or that you've experienced but just never really identified it? Or did it almost like, you know, start up an engine in you, if you will, that you didn't realize, you know, was there?
I think it's the latter. I've always been an empath. Mm-hmm. Of course, I didn't know what that was. I thought everybody felt the same things.
Sure.
Learning all this in your 40s is, it's a little overwhelming. I do know that if I had these abilities when I was younger, I probably would not have used them properly. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all in due time that you learn things.
What do you think it was that opened you up to being having these abilities, the premonitions, having those things that go beyond just being an empath? Was there an event? Was there something? Was it that event? Was it that crossing someone over with your friend, or was there something else that kind of triggered all of that?
As strange as it sounds, when she took my hand and said, "Let's do this," I'm like, okay. And when we did, I feel like she transferred energy, transferred some of her knowledge, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe opened something up. I think she knew what she was doing, because when she said, "Are you ready?" and I gave permission, I think she knew what she was doing. She just smiles and says, "Well, you were ready." But she doesn't really answer too many questions. I don't know if she knows. But I'm connected with certain people, like I can... And I don't have to ever meet them in person. It's just talking to them on Facebook, whatever. And I can know when something's wrong. And I'll message, "Hey, what's going on? You okay?" Mm-hmm. And 9 out of 10 times, there is something serious going on. So, you know, with that, I've learned not to question myself on things. I still question myself a lot on the energy work, mm-hmm. the mediumship, because... To me, it's not that they speak to you like you can audibly hear them. Mm-hmm. It's thoughts that are not your own, and you know they're not your own. And you're like, okay, who needs help? What's going on?
Yeah.
Or you close your eyes and see, like when you're almost falling asleep, where all the sounds are louder than they should be, you start having little dreams, mm-hmm. or seeing people. And when that's what's happened to me here recently. And that I've come to realize that's somebody needing help, showing me their story.
So tell me about that a little bit. You get this dream, you're seeing someone that needs help and showing you a story. Walk me through something. Walk me through one of those situations that you've experienced.
2 nights ago, I got up at 2 a.m. Why? I don't know. I picked up my phone, came in, sat on the couch, and was just scrolling through Facebook. And I felt like somebody was standing in the kitchen. And I thought, well, my husband just walked in to see what I was doing. And I'm probably going to have to answer a million questions why I'm up at 2 a.m. and on my phone. Mm-hmm. And so I looked over and I didn't see anybody. I didn't hear anybody. But it's like if somebody walked behind you and startled you. When I looked over, I felt that. Okay. I went back to my phone. About 30 minutes later, okay, we're going to try going back to bed. And that's when I closed my eyes and almost like in clouds, I see faces, but it was a woman's face. I was like, that's strange. And I felt somebody at the edge of the bed, not like they moved it, but like I knew somebody was there. So mentally I said, okay, who are you and what do you need? And I started drifting off to sleep, and I'd have a little mini dream. And I did not take my mentor's advice and put a notepad by the bed and actually write it down like I should have. But I remember water, and there was no traumatic events, just there was water there. And then I'd wake up a little bit, go back to sleep, and there was ashes, like there had been a fire, but no feeling of like somebody got hurt, anything like that. I'd wake up again, go back to sleep, and there was people. I knew some of them I didn't. I thought, okay, this is really strange. And then finally I went back to sleep, but I didn't, if I'd have wrote it down, I would have actually maybe known what she was trying to say to me. But I guess she got her thoughts out, whatever she wanted to say, and moved on. So I did not have this problem last night. So I'm just getting used to all of this, trying to figure out what I need to do to help.
Have you had any situations prior to a couple nights ago where you got some sort of message or some sort of feeling, and then you reached out to a living person that was in need, that you calling and not having any knowledge of their situation other than just having a feeling that you then confirmed that those feelings were correct, that they did need to hear from you, that there was something that you could bring to their life at that time?
Yeah, one of my friends, and I've only met this person one time in person, but we've been talking for over a year. And I messaged his friend because I didn't want him to think I was crazy. But his friend knows me. And I said, hey, have you talked to this person recently? He said, well, yeah, on video chat a couple of days ago. I'm like, okay, is he okay? And he said, well, yeah, I think so. I said, all right, well, if you get a chance, check on him today. I said, I just feel like something's off. Maybe he's depressed. Maybe something's going on at work. He said, oh, okay, and kind of dismissed it. That evening, I got this big, long text saying that he had been to the doctor. They found some issues with his heart. And he had worn a harness a couple of days, and they checked his heart. And his heart was stopping between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. Okay. for 5 seconds.
Wow.
He says, so he's actually dying every night. I was like, oh, okay, wow. Tell him I'm thinking about him. And I don't know what this guy told my friend, but he messaged me and he said, can I call you? And he called me and explained the whole situation to me. And it was a little worse than what my friend had explained. So I'm like, wow. And I actually thought that I was just driving and thought, check on him for some reason. And so I had to explain to him what I do and that he's one of the ones I'm connected to. And he didn't think I was crazy because he actually needed me. But you can't explain that to a lot of people.
And that's, I mean, that must have been, you know, a very, you know, strange experience. I mean, to have this conversation with someone that you really don't know very well, but to relay this information that was turned out to be accurate. And you said he didn't think you were crazy, but how, I mean, how did he comprehend it? How did he process it when you were having that conversation?
I just told him, I said, there's like five people I'm connected to like this, and it's random. It's not, I don't choose to do this, but I can almost feel what you're feeling. And he said, so he was, he's a jokester, but he is in the paranormal field, but just not into that part of it. He's just an investigator. He says, so if you're eating cheesecake, I'm going to be craving cheesecake and I'm going to call you and I'm going to chew your butt for cheesecake. And I said, yeah, something like that. And we moved off that subject. He understood what I meant.
Sure.
He's just a jokester. And the people that I've gotten connected to like that, it's kind of strange. You can't explain that to most people that aren't in the field and haven't heard that before.
Sure.
Or ones that don't believe in stuff like that. Like, no, you go investigate, you see things, you take pictures, and that's all you do. You're done. No, that's not quite how that works.
Tell me about some of the investigations that you have gone on that have stood out to you as being very intriguing and things that you've felt, you know, very emotional connections to.
I think everywhere I go, if I know the story, in which I'm also the researcher for the team, And I know the stories that are supposed to be there of, you know, who's passed away, what situation they passed away in, mm-hmm. the whole bit. I thought, I didn't realize that I was taking on, it was like they were friends. By the time I got there, I knew enough about them that they were like friends. There was one, we went to a cemetery, and that's not something we normally do. It's not really a no-no, just we don't do it. People don't stay there. But we went there, kind of a historical type thing, and some of the graves were 1800s. And one of them was a settler, and a woman, she had written a book. And we were there after dark, where we didn't intend to be, and saw this woman walking past the gravestones way back in the back of the cemetery. And everybody saw it. I said, you know, I think that's her. And so I walked over toward it. Everybody else stayed back. And you could feel her. Like, she wasn't sad, but she was like, somebody's telling my story. Like 200 years later, somebody's telling my story. And, you know, you can't, unless you're an investigator, you can't tell somebody, you know, this is what she's saying, or, you know, this is how I feel that she's feeling. But that lady has always stood out. And then we went to a Masonic temple, the same place we're going to have our Fear Fest in September. And the reason we decided to do it there, that place is so active. There's a ballroom downstairs where they do weddings and things now. But it used to be the war, when the war was going on, the soldiers would come, women would line up against the walls, and they would pay them a dime for a dance. And that was their only fun time they had during that. Well, that's where the soldier was downstairs whistling at us. And I said, well, I need to go upstairs and get some equipment so I can communicate with you, but I'll be right back. Thank you for letting me know you're here. And I had one woman with me that worked there. We started up the stairs. We got to the second step, and there was a bang. And it was so loud, like somebody threw a metal chair at us. It was right behind us. And she takes off running. I grab her shirt. No, 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 we don't run. We walk. We walk back up the stairs. Of course, I'm shaking. We're still walking. We look down there. There is nothing. I said, has that ever happened before when you work here? She said, we hear noises down here. Yes, but nothing like that. I said, okay. So I went back downstairs with the equipment. We communicated with a man for a little bit through just REM pod and EVP session, but the shuffling and the whole bit, we just threw it all away. Mm-hmm. But that was so loud and scary. It wasn't residual, because it doesn't happen all the time. Mm-hmm. But I realized then that spirits can, I don't know if they take energy and kind of put it all together and throw it at you to make a noise, but I know that they can make some serious noises that will scare you to death.
Now, you had mentioned earlier that you heard spirits through whistling. Is that still the case today, or is that more early on?
I haven't been investigating for a few months now. The last time we went was Waverly Hills a couple months ago, and I did not hear whistling then. But in Waverly Hills, for some reason, I heard nothing then. I don't know if I was closed off at that point, because I was warned that that place is very, very active and for me to guard. Mm-hmm. So I think I went in very guarded.
With the whistling, when you do hear it, is there different tones to it? Do different tones mean different things?
No, it's different whistling, like the cowboy calling his horse was a different whistle.
So it's it's literally whistling. It's not like a hum or something. It is literally like someone, I can't whistle, otherwise I'd whistle. But it is. Okay. Wow.
So I was told by somebody that they believe that that's how I hear spirits instead of words, where some mediums will hear words.
Yeah.
I don't yet, but I don't put anything past anything at this point.
Do you feel like your abilities continue to develop and they strengthen and new things come along as you spend time doing this?
Very quickly. Here in the last month, it's been very quickly.
Wow. Tell me more about some of those experiences as things have grown for you and as you've kind of started to develop more and more abilities. What are some of the things that have stood out to you?
I'm at the stage now where I'm trying to figure out what do these things mean for me? Mm-hmm. Because I haven't heard of anyone else that closes their eyes and sees faces.
Sure.
And I have figured out that that means somebody is needing help. That somebody's there. Since I can't see them, that's how they're showing themselves to me. I have not been touched, anything like that at home. And my house is not haunted at all. As much as I bring home items that they say are haunted, they are not, or at least not in my house. But I have been working with crystals and doing crystal healing, Reiki, all that. I think that's helped a little bit to connect to the spirit world. But just this last month, I've had, like one of my friends she called me and says, I had this really weird dream and I had something similar. We both saw the same person in the dream. And this same person was doing the same thing in different ways. He was committing suicide. So at this point, we're trying to figure out, is this person suicidal? Is this a cry for help or is this a premonition of what's going to happen? I know this person's depressed. So, you know, we're reaching out to him. He's, no, I'm okay. There's nothing wrong. Okay. But we're still trying to see the outcome of that. This has only been a couple of weeks. One of my medium friends was working with me and she said, you have it. And I said, no, I really don't. I'm trying to learn it. She said, okay, here's a picture. Now you tell me what you see in this picture. I said, she said, not see, feel. I said, okay. And I went through it. She goes, okay, now close your eyes and tell me what shapes you see. What comes to your mind? What feelings? What happens? And I thought, well, okay. She said, and nothing is wrong. It's not wrong. Whatever you say. Okay. And I told her, I said, for some reason, I see a water balloon and blood. She says, okay. And we went through a little bit more and she said, I see a teenager. She said, okay, here's the story behind this picture. She's a girl I went to school with. She was one of my friends. She committed suicide while I was on a trip. She was pregnant. The water balloon you're seeing is pregnant. The blood is where she shot herself. And she was a teenager. She was 19. I said, oh my goodness. She said, see? You're okay. And I thought, oh, that's coincidence. We're just going to leave that alone. So then she shows me another one. And she said, okay, next week we'll go over this. Just try to connect with this woman. Okay. So I'm taking a nap before work one day. I work nights. And I plainly hear, I'm not there. I'm like, that's kind of strange, but I'll tell her about it. So I messaged her when I woke up. I said, what is this? Is that someone else? Is it her? She said, that's her. She said, it's my cousin. And we are searching for her body. We have been for years. And here recently, we've started looking in wells. And she's telling you that that's not where she is. I said, oh my goodness. Okay. So since then, I've tried reading pictures for people. Just randomly. And it's every time I've done it, it's been correct. I mean, sure, there's some things I've gotten that aren't quite right. because something will come to mind, like a tricycle or a bike that's a certain color. And they're like, I don't know what that means. I don't know. And then later they'll say, oh, you know what? I think it's this. And then sometimes it's really nothing. I don't know where I come up with it. But it's really interesting. Trusting yourself is the problem. That's going to sound crazy. I'm not going to say that. And when you do, it's like, no, I know what that means. So it's definitely a learning experience.
And how have you, you know, kind of handled that or kind of gotten over those emotions of, you know, feeling like, you know, this would be crazy, you know, to say this to someone or to try and interpret some of these things? Are you getting better at learning how to do that?
Yes, my mentor, she's been doing this for a long time. And she says, you know, one time I was doing a reading and this yellow rubber duck came to mind and I didn't say it. And then I messaged her later because it kept bugging me. And she says, come to find out, rubber ducky was his handle. And I was like, oh, well, okay. And she says, so don't hesitate to say anything and tell him in the beginning, I'm not always right. And the hardest part is keeping your own thoughts out of it. Mm-hmm. That's why I cannot read for anybody I know.
That wraps up the first part of our conversation. Part two for you tomorrow, right here on the feed. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss that. If you want ad-free access to all of our episodes, simply sign up through Apple Podcasts. Even try it for 3 days free. And binge away with no commercials. You'll also get advanced access to all of our episodes well before they're released to the public, all commercial free. Apple Podcasts, check it out, or patreon.com/thegravetalks. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to The Grave Talks.